The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
I'm very happy this morning.
You're happy because Green Bay lost?
Yeah! Isn't that fantastic?
That was so uncharacteristic. They dropped, at least 7 passes.
I never said they were deservingly losing the game, but they lost.
And but these New York media sports types are just raving about how great Eli Manning is, how great New York was. Green Bay beat themselves.
Oh, yeah, Green Bay beat themselves, and Green Bay does not taunt an amazing defense. All right, it's all about the offense when it comes to Green Bay. They never said they had a good defense, so, of course, Eli's going to pick them apart to a certain degree.
It was the Hail Mary at the end of the first half. That was just luck.
Well, yeah, that happens from time to time now, doesn't it?
Right.
Just happened to be, Giants' turn at the end of the half. So, yeah, it was a good game to watch if you're a Giant fan or if you don't like the Packers like I am. But, yeah, it's an undeserved win for Giants, and
I wanted to see Green Bay win. Giants.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll take any team.
No, but
Green Bay.
Watching San Francisco.
Oh, my God.
Did you see the end of that game?
I saw the whole game. The shootout at the end, yeah.
What, 4 touchdowns in like 3.5 minutes or something like that?
What happens when you get the Drew Brees out there and someone who wants to take him on? I'm surprised the Saints lost that game, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, San Francisco showed sign. They got a great defense.
You're not kidding about that. You're not kidding about that. San Fran might go all the way this year.
They might.
Yeah.
I guess I'd never seen them that much.
Yeah, me
neither.
We're in Chicago, but San Fran, you know?
But, yeah, they looked, of course, don't ever count out New England.
Well, of course not. Ever. Don't ever count out New England, especially these days.
Even Jesus couldn't beat them over the weekend.
Yeah, you're in trouble when you can't, if you don't get help from the above, yeah.
So, all right. Excuse me. Enough of football. I guess it took me a while.
Yeah?
To fully appreciate the amazing stuff that you can learn on Facebook and just the amazing social connections,
yeah,
and all the references on YouTube and such, and have not worked that much lately. I've been having a chance and being sick.
You've been watching.
I've had a chance
Facebook,
to see a lot of stuff, and I saw this amazing video of, and I wish I could reference it because I can't remember the title of it, but it was concerning fractals.
Oh yeah,
and it kind of showed, and it's something I actually had thought of as a kid of how the universe must be, but it showed the immenseness of the universe,
mm-hmm,
down to the smallest quark or whatever. And at the end of the video, and the whole thing about fractals, I think, is it's like dimensions really are limitless.
Yeah,
if you really think about it,
infinite. Yeah.
Dimensions are infinite. We used to think there's 3 dimensions, 4 dimensions, whatever. Dimensions are really infinite, and it showed the last picture on this amazing, and this is why I'm not an atheist. And the last thing on this amazing video was a view of a brain cell,
mm-hmm,
a human brain cell, and a view of a collection, I forgot what they called it, collection of galaxies in the universe.
Okay.
And the correspondence was unbelievably amazing.
Similarities?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, more than similarities. It was almost exact.
Wow.
It was almost exact. And this is really, has always been my theory, is that we are just a little, minute little cell in some huge, great, bigger universe. And the reverse.
Of course.
And you're really fully consider the the amazement of that, it's something that almost wants to drives you crazy.
Well, I can't go into that deep of a subject without going crazy, so I refuse to go there.
That's right. Well, most of the time,
it scares the bejeebus out of me.
It scares the bejeebus out of you.
Sure it does.
And it seems to me, well, then there's got to be some kind of God-like thing. I mean, it just has to be. But you're right. If you thought about it for too long, but when you see this video, it makes you think about it again.
Really?
And yeah, I just thought I'd share that. all right. Another amazing, well, not so amazing thing. We should think this is pretty typical by now, but you'd think by now the national media would have learned their lesson. But evidently they haven't. Over the weekend, I'm sure you haven't heard about this, Mike, unless you're following as close as I am to the Ron Paul campaign.
Yeah, I haven't been watching so closely.
Ron Paul got the biggest endorsement in South Carolina that you could get. And if you see the previous statements of what, like, at least one other candidate said and what other people have said about this guy, Rick Santorum said that would be just a great coup for any candidate to get this endorsement.
Okay.
It's a state senator of South Carolina by the name of Tom Davis. He used to be the chief of staff for Governor, the one that
name went out, sound familiar.
Went out to Peru or South America with his loved one. It's escaped me right now. But anyway, he was a I almost had it. I'll get it later. It's okay. Not really that important. Previous governor of South Carolina. He was the chief of staff. He's like the main Tea Party spokesman, state senator. He was a staffer.
Stafford?
Oh, Sanford. Thank you. Governor Terry Sanford.
There you go.
Thank you, Tim. Tim Elins is going to be our guest a little later here, in a few minutes. Sunday night, he came out and endorsed Ron Paul.
Uh-huh.
I had it on all morning, on all the cable stations and the networks. I didn't hear one word.
No one said it.
Especially, you would think this guy on MSNBC, who's the political head honcho there, he's on at 8 o'clock again. Since I'm halfway brain dead, I can't remember his name either. Maybe because I hate him so much. I was thinking, well, at least he's going to make a mention of it. He talked about the endorsement Santorum got by these evangelicals in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Not one word about this huge endorsement. Well, I'm sure in the state it's big news,
sure.
And the national media can't ignore it. It's going to be really big. And there's a debate tonight, and you'll hear about it tonight on the debate. I'm going to predict. I'm not going to say Ron Paul's going to win, but I think he's going to finish again at least a strong second this Saturday in South Carolina. He's there's this old quotation from Gandhi about first they ignore you, then they ridicule you, mm-hmm. then they attack you, and then they join you.
They accept you.
I might have had that exact, sure. But that's pretty much it. I think right now the establishment is between attacking you and joining you. Charles Krautheimer, who is probably one of the biggest neocon establishment types there is on Fox News,
mm-hmm.
actually came out with a very honest column on Ron Paul and the significance of his run. And concluding, of course, that you can't ignore him, that he's brought new people to the party, especially young people, and unless Republicans want to be condemned to oblivion, they're going to have to accept what's going on with Ron Paul. So there is that, and I guess they're caught in that, maybe that little time war between attacking and accepting, and so then some of them are reverting back to trying to ignore, but it's an impossibility. They can't do it. Couple of other things happening as far as stupid regulation of the week. Orlando, Florida, don't allow your kids to write any use any chalk on a sidewalk, because that's it's a violation of the law.
It is not.
And you can go to jail for it.
Is this your stupid regulation?
This is my stupid regulation. There's a Occupy Wall Street type protester wrote something like, justice equals freedom.
Okay.
on the sidewalk, and they arrested him, and he was in jail for days at least.
For sidewalk chalk.
For using chalk on a sidewalk. Some kind of violation of commercial advertising, which I don't think that's commercial advertising.
No, it's not at all.
But the absurdities just continue and continue. One other thing I wanted to quickly cover before we get to talking with our guest is most people now have seen this picture of American military urinating on the dead Taliban.
Yep.
In Afghanistan.
Yep, yep.
And, you can look at it this various ways. Is it disgusting? Of course it's disgusting. Is it more disgusting than torturing? I don't think so.
Doesn't make it right, though.
But for the other side, the neocons are saying, well, if we can kill them, why can't we urinate them? But just looking at it for a practical sense, does this make any sense at all? How is this going to be viewed in the Middle East? It's just going to make tensions that much worse. To me, it's just... More than anything, is just really, really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys have to be disciplined for it, I think, in my opinion.
I agree.
But I'll put that lower on the totem pole than actually torturing prisoners, which is supposed to be against the Geneva Conventions and all those sorts of good things. So, anyway, that's that. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tim Elins. He's running for State Senate District 22. I'll have to say against my friend, Mike Noland. It should be an interesting race in the Democratic primary, and we'll talk about that after we get back for a few messages.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. 1-800-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the program right now Tim Elins. He's running for state senate right here in District 22 in the Democratic primary. Tim, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Doing fine. Appreciate you being here. Why are you running for state senate?
Oh, why am I running? I don't know. How long? We have an hour?
Try to condense it to about a minute or two.
Minute or two. I've been a longtime resident. I've been a lifelong resident of Illinois and been a member of the Democratic Party since I was probably 12 years old when I helped my father, Tommy Lyons' organization, going around and doing door hangers.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a Chicago policeman. And with all the dissension, not only in the state of Illinois, but in the 22nd district, I decided that it was time to see what the qualities I could bring to sitting down and working with people instead of fighting all the time. And that seems to be what we have in the district.
It's a lot of fighting. So you want to bring people together. How are you going to do that? What proposals are you making? What kind of policy recommendations are you making that would bring people together?
Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to get people to the table, sit down and talk. And that doesn't seem, we have a very splintered Democratic Party out here in the 22nd district. You know, in the 22nd district, we have Kane County and Cook County. And we actually have three different parties. We have Dundee, Kane County, and Cook County. And then you have in Kane County, in Cook County, you have the Schomburg Democrats and you have the Hanover Democrats. And it seems that everybody kind of goes their own way and does what they want to do. We also have two elected officials, representatives here under the senator. I don't know, you know, you have a senator and you have two representatives. And it seems that every time I pick up the paper or every time I'm looking at the issues, they're always working in different ways. And that wasn't how I was brought up when I was politically active at one time in my life.
Well, if people have sincere beliefs, they want to espouse them, and isn't principle more important than getting along, going along for its own sake?
Principle is very, very important. The Democratic Party has principles.
What would they educate me? What would they know?
You don't even know what the Democratic principles
are? I would like to know what you think the Democratic principles are.
Democratic principles are it's funny, to work with other people to get jobs,
mm-hmm.
take care of the helpless,
mm-hmm.
and work with the community,
mm-hmm.
bring freedom of speech. I mean, obviously,
right.
libertarian, I think it's right. Very close to the Democratic Party in a lot of ways.
Well, the means for the traditional Democrats, in my opinion, not that the Republicans are any different, the traditional means of bringing to helping those people you talk about would be to actually hold a gun to the taxpayer's head and say your money or your life, because we think we need to help those people. So we're going to take your money and we're going to give it to them, and we're going to do it through force, through coercion.
Are you talking about principles, or are you talking about a theory that you have about the Democratic Party?
I'm talking about what I've perceived as what the Democrats seem to do, supposedly support the little guy. It seems to me that they violate the number one moral law, which is that you do unto others as you have done to you, and you would think that theft would be paramount in that natural law, and the whole concept, and the Republicans on different issues are pretty much the same thing. They want to use the force of government to impose the will upon the majority. So it's the majority tyranny against minority or individual rights. And that's the problem I've always had. I have the goals of Democrats and Democratic Party are laudable, but the means to get to those ends always seem to me to be less than good.
Well, I guess I misunderstood the question, because you said principles, and the principles of the Democratic Party, the environment, education, economy, and equality. So I guess what we're talking about is an opinion.
Well, everybody's going to say those are their laudable goals. The question
those
is,
are principles.
The means to that end involves principle too,
mm-hmm.
I think, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, you know, we're not here to debate. You had asked me what I had thought, and I see a very divisive Democratic Party in the district, and I see our two Democratic representatives voting one way and our senator voting a different way.
Okay.
On a lot of issues. And I see a lot of issues that are being voted on are almost Republican votes.
So I think most people would agree that the state of Illinois is virtually broke. It's got
state,
the worst.
State of Illinois is broke. Taxpayers are getting hit with the brunt. Most people got over a 20% increase in 2011 in their property taxes locally. A lot of unemployment is an all-time high. Foreclosures is high. That is the highest it's ever been. And I don't see anything happening in Springfield, and I don't see anything happening here. And I'm getting tired of people talking about the jobs that are leaving Illinois, and I don't hear anybody talking about bringing businesses here. This is the most, if it isn't the most wonderful state out of the 50, we have railways, rivers, airports, highways. I mean, we've got most natural resources of any state in the union, and we don't hear anybody talking about getting jobs, bringing companies here.
I want to get to that. I want to get to that in a second. First, would you agree that maybe the biggest burden on the state budget that's bringing us down is this such a burden of the pension plans that is bringing the state budget down. The pensions, it seems to me, paying out these pensions seems to be unsustainable.
Are they unsustainable?
And what would you do to correct that?
Well, we haven't been paying the pensions.
No.
We haven't been. We not only have we not been paying them, we've been using the money, earmarking the money for other things. In 2002 or 2003, we had a balanced budget in Illinois. We were pretty solvent. We were much better places. You know, if you were 16 and I was 18 years old and you started putting $1,000 away into an IRA, and I started putting $1,000 away in an IRA, those $2,000 make a world of difference. You'd be a much wealthier man than I would be at age 65. Not only weren't we putting the money that we were supposed to be putting away, but like I said, we were earmarking and taking holidays, and we were talking about $1,000. We're talking about hundreds of millions and billions of dollars.
Right.
In the last 6 years, it hasn't gotten any better. You know, Rome is burning, and Nero is fiddling.
Right.
So what do you do? Do you keep going the same way we are and give them some more time? I know I'm a resident. I'm a longtime resident of the 22nd District, and I'm getting tired of hearing, oh, I can't get along with leadership, or we can't do this, or we can't do that, or it's this, it's the real estate, it's the schools. Nothing has done. Nothing has been done.
So what would you...
I always talk about when a president gets in. I always say that there's a certain degree that a president or a governor inherits a lot of the things from the administration before. But I say after 18 months or 2 years, you got to start stepping up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, we had Blagojevich elected. I believe he was elected in 2002, I believe is when he took office. We had Democrat-controlled House and Senate and a governor's mansion since 2002. It's not any better. So obviously the men and women that are there right now aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. You can't blame it 8 years later or six years later.
And that's agreeable. So what would you do to change that situation? What would you do to solve the pension problem?
I think Mike wants to tell us something.
No, I'm just enjoying the conversation.
Oh, okay. I thought you had a caller for us or something.
We'll get to that later after the first break.
What would I do? There's so many different things. The biggest problem we have right now is nobody's talking to each other. Everybody, we don't have issues with party lines. We don't have the Republicans and Democrats not talking. We have Democrats in our own community that aren't talking to each other. We have the most divisive district in the state of Illinois. It's all just confrontational. Every time you pick up the newspaper, you're hearing about something else going on. You're hearing about the reps voting one way and the senator voting a different way. I can name two bills right off the top of my head. Excuse me. You know, we had the casino down the street here. I don't know if you're familiar with the Grand Victoria Foundation.
Sure.
The Grand Victoria is one of the most unique boats of all of it. It used to produce $30 million a year for Elgin. It's down to under $10 million per year.
Yeah, when they banned cigarette smoking.
They banned cigarette smoking. It was 25%. When they expanded casino gambling and they opened up this river boat over here in Des Plaines, we lost another 25%. That's not only the money down for Elgin, but I'm not being sarcastic, but do you know that the 20% of the profits from the Grand Victoria, from the family that owns the Grand Victoria, 20% of it, 12.5% goes into a charity that gets distributed around the state of Illinois? Did you know that?
I knew that. I didn't know the exact
amount.
It's huge. I knew there was a certain percentage.
And they give 7.5% to the Kane County General Fund that Kane County can do whatever they want to do, which is over and above what they had already done. And we're voting for casino gambling, or we're voting present on a bill when it comes up to a vote for 30-27 to expand gambling here? I mean... this is something that came back 17 years ago, and this pretty much there was a big savior to the King County and the people of Elgin. So what would I be doing? Well, definitely for my district, which would
bring it back to pensions, if you would. That's really why it was.
You want
to
go back to
on.
Pensions? I would fund the money the way that we're supposed to be funding it, and I would sit down, I would draw a line right here on the map and say, here's where we're at, and here's what we owe, and here's what we're
then where
do
would you cut?
Working.
But as you said before, that money was being used for the general fund.
I you know,
so that means you'd have to cut other areas.
There's areas that have to be cut, and there's areas that have to be looked at. We have an attrition in the state of Illinois of about 3,000 employees a year that
mm-hmm.
retire,
mm-hmm.
retire, quit, die, find other jobs, do other things. Do we really need to hire back 3,000? Do we really need to hire back 3,000?
Well,
I'm saying
that I would suggest that, and I'm kind of laughing because I think we all know that the way the economy is now, household budgets, we're having to, you know, cut down 10, 20, 30%. So it seems to me, well, why can't the state government cut down? I bet you if they cut down 5% or 10%, that would probably, in the long run, take care of the budget problem.
How about instead of hiring back 3,000 people, maybe we hire back 1,500 people?
Yeah, that would
or
be
2,000 people. That would
be a start. So you're kind of talking about across the board cut down on the bureaucracy. Is what it sounds like.
The bureaucracy. I don't believe that I even have an idea of the bureaucracy that's involved because I'm not there. I think it would take you a while to be down there to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think after you were down there for a few months, you'd be able to figure out.
Okay, but I'm saying if you're saying not to hire back people, then you are by definition cutting.
No, I'm not talking about bureaucracy. I'm talking about the state looking to see, well, do we really need to hire back in this department?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, really sitting down, engaging the union, sitting down with the union, sitting down with the other labor forces, and seeing, do we really need to hire these people back?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are in this together. We're either pulling together.
What about the prison system? If somebody's in prison for possessing marijuana, is that a good way of spending money, keeping them incarcerated at $65,000 a year?
I don't have that.
It's something around that. That was a couple years ago. It's probably more than that now.
I'm not prepared for that question. I think that the biggest thing right now is that we have this financial crisis going on with the pensions, and we're running red ink every day. So. As far as marijuana, I don't know how we jump from pensions to marijuana, but
because they're all issues. They're all issues that matter, and what's related as far as marijuana is concerned is the high cost, the expanding cost of the prison system in the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I brought that up.
Big issue.
It seems to me one easy way, if you believe in freedom, as I thought you suggested you do, that people, adults, should be able to self-medicate with something that's never killed anybody, whereas alcohol and you name it, prescription drugs, kills hundreds of thousands of people every year. So it doesn't seem to be a leap in extremism to suggest that maybe we shouldn't be incarcerating marijuana users. And that would save a lot of money in the state of Illinois.
Do you have statistics on that?
Not in front of my face, no.
Because, you know, I tell you, I've been out and I've met with thousands of people in the district, and I've been asked a lot of questions, but this is the first marijuana question I had.
This is Freedom Rings, okay. And then you're going to get answers to ask that kind of questions. Because I'm not like all the others out there.
Okay,
you talk about bringing back business to the state. How would you propose to do that?
Certainty. We have no certainty in this state. We don't know. Business doesn't know how to plan. We don't know how to plan because we don't know what's going to happen out here. We don't know as far as
the income tax increase has maybe something to do with that?
The income tax was absolutely atrocious. It's unbelievable. So if you're asking me if I was for the income tax, which would be a good question, I would say no. I'm absolutely against it, and I think it should be repealed immediately.
Good.
Is that for the record?
All right. I got him nailed down on one thing at least. All right.
I'm not trying to be evasive. I just don't know how pensions and marijuana have anything to do with each other.
It's the cost of federal prisons that have skyrocketed in the state of Illinois.
Since I don't smoke marijuana and I'm not part of the pensions, I can't really speak to it.
No, I don't smoke marijuana either. It has nothing to do with smoking marijuana.
Okay.
It's not that I'm a Christian, but the thing that I remember as brought up as a Roman Catholic was...
Well, let me ask you.
Which is all to the least of my brother that you do unto me. It seems to me if somebody else is getting their rights taken away and thrown in jail for no good reason, I feel personally hurt by that. because I believe in freedom, and freedom is indivisible.
That's why.
So it doesn't matter if I smoke marijuana or not. I feel for people who are wasting their lives away in prison just because they smoke a little bit of weed, which they think does them some good, where it has never killed anybody. But if you don't want to attack, that's fine. That's your choice.
I don't know enough about the issue. Okay. I think we have much more pressing issues.
All right. So this is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. Our guest is Tim Elins. He's running for state senate right here in District 22 for the Democratic Party. Phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Give us a call. Any questions, comments, observations, and we will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
And you may see me tonight with an illegal smile. It don't cost very much, but it lasts a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? No, I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well done, hot dog bun. My sister's a nun.
Let's get to talk about marijuana.
Well, Mike is an instigator. You know that by now, don't you?
See Dave. You ever get Dave Weiser on your show?
I don't instigate.
Little John Prine music there. Just to instigate.
Are we on the air?
We're on the air.
Oh, I didn't know that. You didn't tell me.
We just came back now.
okay.
That was the bumper music that was indicating to you. You as a professional should know that. That
Mr. K, right?
Was it Mr. K? You might want to get your phone, your headphones back on. What do you say we go to the phones?
Okay, hello.
We have Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, gentlemen, how you doing?
Good. Deja vu. How are you? You follow me everywhere, huh?
I just follow a little bit of politics, but I guess I can raise my question. I've been around long enough in the area to hear all of the promises made from all of the, quote, independent Democrats and the independent Republicans, and that they were going to do this and that and the other thing. And within a very short period of time, just like our current group of Democrats who held town meetings to show, oh, well, we're going to redistrict the state properly and we're going to represent the people, when it came time for push and shove, Mr. Madigan got his districting through to, you know, protect the Democrats. I mean, it's obvious to everybody who's been there. Had no interest at all in putting it into an independent commission or take any advice from any independents. Why am I going to pretend to think that if you win, there's going to be really any difference than any of the other group of Republicans or Democrats that followed the leadership, you know, kowtowed to the leadership just like they have before? I guess that's my question.
Yeah,
what's going to make you different than anybody else?
Well, I'm 49 years old. I've been self-employed for 20 years. I have a very successful business. I've been taking care of myself for 20 years. I've never run for an office before. What I do for a living is I'm an insurance broker. I do medical insurance. I sit down with you. Ken says, hey, go get me quotes for his company, and I go out and I get 12 quotes for you, different proposals from different companies. 11 of them are going to be very unhappy with me when Ken makes his decision based on what Tim tells them. And I still have to be friends with those 11 people because we do business all the time. Why am I going to be different? Because I'm not looking for a new career. I'm not looking to be a senator. And I'll tell you right now that I'll be in for 2 terms and I'll be gone. So you could put that down in your book right now. I'm not looking for it. I think things are just so upside down right now, not only in Springfield but in the district. And I have to hope that a dozen or 15 like-minded men and women are going to get down there in the Senate, which is 59 seats. It's the only time in 10 years that all 59 seats are up, okay? And I want to restore back to resources, and I want to bring the voice back to the people of the 22nd District. I don't think getting up and grandstanding and running around with checks or running around with town hall meetings is the way to do it. I think that how you become an effective legislator is sitting down with your mayors and your other elected officials, excuse me, and bringing their feelings back to Springfield. You know, it was meant originally designed to be a part-time job, and men and women have institutionalized themselves in state government. I'm a big fan of term limits. I think there should be term limits. I think you should be in there no longer than 10 years. That's what the cycle is. I don't think there should be pensions, and I don't think there should be medical insurance for state legislators. It is defined as a part-time job. So, Dan, you asked me that question, and I know you ran for Congress before, and I don't know how you answered the question, but I'm not on a pension plan. I run a business, and you know, I do pretty well in my business, and a lot of people call me. I will continue to work in my business, and I will continue to try to do what I can for the community. It's something that I've been doing for over 30 years, for almost 40 years, actually. I've been working, so I think we need to focus more on the common welfare first, because what Ken had said too, we are all connected, we are all one.
Well, a quick response.
Okay, I didn't know it was a response.
You would mention that it's a part-time job and all.
What I said, Dan, let me correct you, because you made a statement. I said it was designed to be a part-time job. That's what I said. I didn't say it was a part-time job. I said it has become institutionalized. People have institutionalized it as a full-time job. So I did not say it was a part-time job.
Okay. Well, my question then, if you're going to keep your business going while you're a senator and you're going to be dividing your time between the two jobs, how can you be as effective as somebody who would be willing to either take a part-time salary and do it as a part-time job, or B, quit your business for the time you're a senator?
Well,
why should we pay somebody a full-time salary if they're only going to be a part-time senator?
Do you know what the salary of a senator is?
It's $60,000 or $67,000, whatever it is. I forgot what it was.
Okay, you forgot what it is. So you're asking
a lot more than most teachers make.
Yeah, I don't know.
A lot more than a lot of policemen, a lot more than firemen make.
Okay. So your question is what? You said that I'm going to quit my job.
Well, my question is...
Dan, what you're doing...
I think he's suggesting you're double-dipping. Are you going to continue your business while you're a legislator, or are you going to quit? Are you going to let somebody else take care of your business while you're... He just wants to know how you're going to use your time.
My time is going to be, like I had said, I'm going to go back into the district. And I'm work as a public servant, and I'm going to represent the people of the 22nd district. I don't know anybody other than the senator that we have now that doesn't do other work or work with other. We have another job, so you're asking.
Okay.
Let me answer your question. Yes, I'm going to continue running my business that I run now, and I'm going to continue to campaign for the next 60 days. And when we're elected, I will continue to be in my business.
Dan, anything else?
Well, I'd like to say good luck to you, but I hope you'll forget my cynicism, because I've heard the same story time and time again over the last 40 years I've been in the Kane County area.
And Dan, you know, when you ran for Congress...
I just don't see anything within the district.
When you ran for Congress, and you were out,
uh-huh.
And we've interviewed you a few times, I'm sure you got asked that. And to answer you honestly, I don't know what to expect when I get down there. I'm not sure what happens out here. I do know that I do spend 6 hours out each day meeting with people, and my business seems to be just fine. It's doing okay, and I can't imagine that as a senator I'm going to be spending 6 hours a day. So,
okay. Dan, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Hey, you guys have a good one.
All right. Phone number here. Anybody want to get in? Anybody who wants to get in, 847-931-1410. Any comments, questions, observations for Tim Elins, running for state senate right here in the Elgin area. Offline, we were discussing how to take care of the poor. What's the best way to do that? What's maybe, from my viewpoint, the most moral way to do it? And I would suggest, and I'd back it up with this book that Charles Murray looked. Charles Murray was a liberal type Democrat sociologist, and he wanted to show how the war on poverty had helped the poor. So he studied the issue, and what he found was actually that after the war on poverty hit, the poor were losing ground. They were not gaining ground, and especially looking at blacks. The poor blacks, he found out that they were actually moving more and more into the middle class. Their unemployment rate was getting closer and closer to the white unemployment rate until the war on poverty hit. And actually, then they plunged into greater poverty. So what I'm suggesting, what most libertarians would suggest, is if you really, truly freed the market up, got rid of the regulations, got rid of the taxation, all of us would be more prosperous. And the ones who did fall in... into the cracks, that's what family, extended family, neighbors, churches, and other charitable organizations are all about, to really help people. And that would be really help. That would be charity. It wouldn't be extortion.
Well, I think, again, that's a one man's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's an author. It's an opinion that you subscribe to. I believe that the government is there to take care of the helpless. I think there are things. There's organizations like Little Angels right down the street. Those people are helpless. And we have a moral obligation to take care of them. I think where you and I might
agree... Well, we have a moral obligation using the force of government to hold people a gun to people's heads, say your money or your life.
No.
And you think that's that means is moral for the end.
No, I think where you and I might agree upon is that I believe that when you use charitable donations to empower your base, whether you be a Democrat or you're a Republican, and you use tax dollars as campaign dollars, I have an issue with that. When you run around and you say, hey, I'm great because I've got this grant over here to the Larkin Center, I got this grant over here to the Crisis Center, and I was able to do that, and you're basically taking my tax dollars and using it as your campaign fund. I think you and I would be able to agree to that. I don't know that I necessarily feel that there's a gun being taken to my head because
sure.
I do have
if
a
if you don't
right.
pay your taxes,
well,
the government's going to come after you, aren't they? And if you resist, they'll come with guns. They even come with guns for somebody who this is federal government now, not the state government, but the federal government actually came in the state of Texas against somebody who was defaulting on their student loans. They had a SWAT team come down and descend on them. They have SWAT teams coming down to descend on vitamin peddlers. There's SWAT teams descending on everybody to suggest that that's not the case, that it's not your money or your life, I think is not looking at reality.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought you were talking Ruby Ridge, but that's okay.
Well, we could. We could.
I fielded a question off the air at 847-931-1410. It's a two-pronged question. Number one, are you going to work hard to reelect Barack Obama? And then number two question was, what are your thoughts on smart meters?
I'm going to work on our election, and I'm not going to get involved in anybody else's election. I'm going to get involved with our primary and get Tim Elins elected as the Democratic nominee to run against the Republican in November. And what was the second question?
What are your thoughts on smart meters?
I don't know anything about smart meters.
Smart meters, I think they're talking about like the ones they have in Chicago with the credit card. You have to use a credit card or whatever to. I know what they're talking about. Smart meters are for measuring electrical usage, maybe gas usage too. I don't know, on your house. And there's a fear among some people that what these smart meters are going to lead to, if you're wasting electricity, then the utility, or you might say the government through the utility, will be able to force you to use less, actually give you less electricity coming into your home.
Like give you an allotment of electricity?
Right, right. That's what they're referring to.
My focus right now is a candidate and when I become senator is going to be a couple things. The smart grid bill that just passed that was vetoed was actually the governor vetoed and it was overridden by the Republicans and a few select Democrats, which is absolutely just unbelievable. We've given the ComEd the license to steal for all practical purposes, and our two reps voted against it. So Keith Farnham and Fred Crespo voted against it. So, that's the extent that I know. But what I'm really aware of is U-46 needs help. They have issues over there, and they need issues to be addressed. They're in our district. D-300 is not in our district. It's in a different district over on the other side of the expressway. 54 is a pretty well-run school district, but they have some things that we need to address. Foreclosures here. We don't really have people with utility bills when all these foreclosures. We're at the highest rate of foreclosures ever in the history of the state of Illinois. We need to slow those foreclosures down. Are we going to be able to save everybody? No. We're not going to be able to save everybody. But I don't think it makes a lot of sense when a gentleman's paying $900 a month for his mortgage and he's got to move across the street for $800 a month. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I think we have a lot of pressing issues that are going on. The Grand Victoria Casino laid off, I think, 15% of their people last month because of the new expansion of gambling, and now there's another bill.
Would you allow maybe to restaurants and bars and the casinos to allow, if the owner so chooses, to allow smoking?
I honestly believe, and I do not smoke. I am not a smoker, but I do believe that the smoking bill was a wrong bill.
Okay.
And it destroyed a lot of, and I think people have choices. The people, I agree. I think the government is there as a safety net. Not to tell me what I can and cannot do.
Oh, and that we're 100% in agreement.
If you let me talk, you see we're in agreement on
I apologize if I'm interrupting.
No, you're
I'm
fine.
Trying to,
no, okay. You're okay.
All right. I thought I was being pretty good.
But I think that we need to really start looking at that. You know, one of the things that concerns me, and this you'll like because I can go both ways on this, so be careful.
You're going as close as you are to me. Don't talk too much about going both ways.
We need to have affordable health care out here, and I'm going to talk about medical insurance, okay? Because I co-host with a right-wing lunatic, Paul Edwards, my co-host, who's just...
Is that being redundant in your mind?
Yeah, well...
Right-wing lunatic?
No,
oh,
no,
okay.
No. Right. Paul's a friend of mine for 30 years, and we agree to disagree. And actually, Paul's my brother, if anything else. And we need to have a health care center out here. We need to have a quality health care accessible for those who do not have medical insurance. And there is a difference. between medical insurance. If you live in Cook County, you pay Cook County Hospital. You pay a Cook County health care system on your property taxes.
Do you believe in mandates for health care? That you force the government, forces somebody?
No.
No,
I don't believe that at all. But right now, we do have a public health care system in Cook County. And contrary to other people in this district, half of the district is, over half of the district is Cook County. And we do pay health care. We pay on our property taxes a line item that goes to Cook County health care system. In order to get health care, we have to go down to Stroger Hospital to get health care. Okay, and one of my dearest friends who's out with me every day actually had his head hernia operation at Cook County Hospital 6 weeks ago. We have very good doctors, we've got very good care. And one of the first things that I'm going to do when we get elected is I'm going to meet the county board, and we're going to talk about getting a center out here in Cook County so the residents can use it. Because when you don't have addressed preventative care and you don't bring first dollars, diabetes, heart disease, cancers, 90% of cancers are curable if caught in the first stage. Once they get to stage two, they're 50% stage three. So we need to, since we already have a system, I'm not talking about putting more tax dollars on people, because where are we paying for it? Let's run it more efficiently. Cook County costs 4.5 times more than Rush St. Luke's or Northwestern Memorial, which are just blocks away. Let's fix that system.
Surprise.
Let's fix it, though. Okay. We're already spending the money. This is not a tax increase, and let's provide it, because if we can get people healthy earlier, we're going to save more money on our medical premiums instead of having to deal with emergency rooms. Okay. I don't have heard anybody talk about that.
We're talking with Tim Elens, running for state senate, Democratic Party. We'll be right back.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, talking with our very interesting guest, Tim Elins. And, Tim, we're just about out of time, so if anybody wants to help you with your campaign, how can they do it?
Oh, you can contact us at www.citizens4elins.com or call us at 847-387-9424. If you want to put a yard sign up or you would like to know about our issues or you'd like to volunteer, we're getting calls from volunteers every day. So if you would like to call us and you want to stop by our office, it's at 15 South Spring. It's right around the corner from the radio station. It wasn't easy. I could have walked over here. So
very good. Great. Well, Tim, thank you very much for being on the program today. All right, on to the quotation of the week. This is from Albert J. Nock. It cannot even be said that the state has ever shown any disposition to suppress crime, but only to safeguard its own monopoly of crime.
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.